You about ready? This is Marty Ford from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, coming to you with You About Ready, the weekly show that asks you to listen, laugh, and learn about a variety of topics. In the past few weeks, we've covered many, maybe not as in-depth as possible, but we opened it up for people to call in and make comments or send me an email to comment about the show, what they think, what they have opinions on, what they'd like to discuss, what they don't want to discuss, because we're open to all that stuff. We're not bound by anything here. We have unrestricted, appropriate forum for the exchange of thoughts, information, ideas, and so forth. In the past, we've spoken about healthcare and how to solve this dilemma that's facing us, because straight up, it's a 10,000-page document, and I don't know anybody who could read it all, understand it, comprehend it, and then spit it out for us to hear on a 30-second soundbite during 24-hour news stations. We talk not only about healthcare, but how to pay for it with our two-year health national healthcare lottery. It's a simple solution, which is what we specialize in here, in simple solutions and ideas to big issues that once we go in a simple way, all the clouds are lifted. All the things that obfuscate our world are dissipated, and we can see clearly and come up to a rational, healthy solution for all people. Talked about veterans and how we can connect them. I'll give you a little bit about that later on my website. Talked about empowerment. The overall theme of You About Ready is empowerment, helping you accomplish, showing you how to accomplish, learning you how to accomplish more than you ever thought possible in a simplistic, easy manner. We talked about kids and play and the importance in play. And my love is pick up basketball and pick up soccer, just with the guys hanging out, letting your frustrations out, playing some ball, talking sports, and just having a good old time. In fact, talking about anything. Usually, some of the things we talk about on this show, You About Ready. We talked about ethics, or rather the lack thereof, and we'll get back to that. Talked ethics go along with truth, and we don't always get the truth. I just saw it today. There are cynics, critics, and doubters about Diana Nyad swimming 110 miles or so through the infested waters down in Florida to get to Key West, Florida from her starting point. They're even questioning this champion, this role model, this hero of never giving up. She couldn't even talk. Her lips were so swollen and her body was so weak. But she did mention the fact that never give up on your dreams. I think it was the fifth time she tried it, and she conquered it. Today, just now, an hour or so ago, I'm watching, I don't know why we do, but we do, watch some local news and national news, and she was there, and they're already investigating with analysts and experts and scientists, weather people, just to see if she did what she said she did, even though there were probably 50 or so people along the way, maybe in the air taking pictures from a helicopter or an airplane, but boats and canoes or something, not canoes, kayaks, alongside of her just to help guide her through, because I think it's shark-infested waters. So we talk about ethics and truth and anger. Last week we talked about leadership and all the things that go along with that, mostly negative things. But we want to flip that and go positive, because there are good leaders out there. But we want to begin, as always, with our critical thinking, brain-busting, thought-provoking little riddle that we want to start. And if I remember, I'll tell you the answer before we get off the air. And you'll be off the air in time to hear the president speak. I think it's 9 o'clock Eastern he's talking. So for those of you out on the West Coast, you'll be having either happy hour or dinner watching and listening to the president speak, I guess, about national and international issues, if you so choose to. Because coming off of listening to this show, You About Ready, on bbsradio.com, you might be a little bit more energized to get out and do something. Part of empowerment is getting up, getting out, and getting going and doing. A person jumps off a 10-story building, lands feet first, walks away unscratched, not even breaking a sweat, and goes about his business. How do you explain that? Person jumps off a 10-story building, lands feet first, unmarked, no clothes were torn. He didn't get hurt. Walked away, went to work, stopped to get his $4 cup of coffee, which probably cost about 45 cents to make. And he went to work with his cell phone and screen in front of him. So how do you explain that simple brain buster critical thinking thought? Tonight's tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. of which we've introduced last week, are three keywords. They are basically synonymous, but have different meanings depending on who you're talking to or who's listening to you. The three words are information, knowledge, and wisdom. As a youth, you have information. And you, in today's world, you get information overload, which is another overused cliche. By the way, on this radio station, you will not hear those overused, somewhat abused, and just awful things said, little couple of words or a phrase or something. You will not hear me say, at the end of the day. You will not hear me say artisan or fusion, because I don't know what those things are, and food-related, because I see them and read about them and hear about them all the time. I don't know what artisan is. It's bread. I don't know what more it could be. And you won't hear me say, thank you very much, have a nice day. That goes back to my early years and working in customer service and as a paper boy. And thank you very much, have a nice day. Thank you very much, have a nice day. It became automatic and it has no meaning. No, it's overused and people don't even hear it. In fact, my dad has a great line when someone talks to him and calls him on the phone or speaks to him. They say, hey, how you doing? He says, lousy. And you know what? People, oh, that's good. I'm glad you hear that. And they go about their business. We don't even listen anymore. We're that weak culture. And my dad's been doing that for many years. My folks are 92 years old and still together, and it's wonderful. And we're very blessed and lucky. So you won't hear me say those things. There's a couple more. Oh, take it to the next level or anything to do with the next level. Live the here and now and move forward and progress, and you'll get to the next level without badgering people into listening to you or someone say you're getting to the next level. So we have information, knowledge, and wisdom. Information is what you get as a youth. As you age into your 20s and 30s and 40s, maybe a little bit more, it turns into knowledge. So because the knowledge you have that you're giving away or teaching to the youth, maybe your kids or their friends, you seem like a genius. Wow, that's really good. That's cool that you know all that stuff. You're really smart. And then you get older and you're senior citizen ages, your 70s, your 80s, your 90s, 100s and beyond. Now it's wisdom. It's wisdom. Now a senior citizen type person talks to a youth and they're telling them about life lessons and things that happen and go on and what to expect and all. And they're like, they're shocked. The youth are shocked to hear these things. But it's all the information they have that's going to get processed and churned into knowledge as they age. And finally, in the later stages of life, that information turns to knowledge, turns to wisdom. And we all appear as we know what we're talking about. And the idea behind it is that it's all the same stuff. What you know as a kid, you pass on and hopefully to the ones in your life who become the kids as you age. A great line is... family sends their kid to college. A kid comes home after 4 years. They're sitting down having a big turkey dinner with the family, and the kid belts out, you know, family, it's amazing how much you've learned in the 4 years I've been away. And it's like a revelation. The light went on. So that kid who had information, who went away to school or in the military or on a job somewhere, comes back that information. Now he's in his 20s and 30s. Now he's got knowledge. But it's stuff the family always was teaching them as they were growing up. All right, a little business here. We're coming to you live from, as I said, the beautiful basement of downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawash Station. We're on bbsradio.com. The toll-free number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you want to contact me by email, Marty Ford, F-O-R-D, the email address is hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Hamp, 73@gmail.com. We're always looking for sponsors, personal, business, corporate, anybody out there looking to sponsor a great radio show and be affiliated with me and BBS Radio. Give us BBS a call or send me an email, and we'll take care of some business so we can continue with this show. And on a personal note, I've written 3 books all about empowerment. The first is Power Up Your Power. The second is Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All. And the third is about kids in play. It's called G-Verb, Get Up, Get Out, Get Going. Get up, get out, get going. If anybody out there is a publisher or knows a publisher looking for some simple, brief, thorough, succinct little books to publish and put out for the public to buy, give us a holler here at this radio station. Give us a call or email me at hamp73@gmail.com. One last thing before we get into some of tonight's topics. I have a website. It's called www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. It's a registration, a registry for all former and current military personnel, regardless of branch of service, to sign up and register and help locate your buddies and friends of friends of friends. There is a $25 registration fee and a $10 annual renewal fee. Those fees go to two places. One, some of it goes to help pay for the website, which is not that much, and all the other money is going to be distributed to deserving veterans. And we will make those decisions right here in the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station. There won't be a multitude of forms to fill out. There won't be maybe a phone call or a Skype or something, or a visit if it's geographically possible. But there's a lot of veterans out there who are in need of a boost, a little help to get them over a hump or some rough times. And, you know, a lot of people out there with various conditions coming out of service that just being with their buddies or knowing they're there or where to find them and talk to them or talk with them, that is as therapeutic as anything, any medicine you can take or any therapy session you could attend. All right. So enough for the business. We want to get into kids and play. I talked about that frequently and how important play is, that the kids really don't need to sit in another class of something when they could be out playing. And the schools are sacred ground for that. And what happens to the school? Once the end of June and school comes out, some of the staff is there over the summer because they're on 12-month contracts doing administrative stuff. The building gets maintenance performed on it, waxing floors, fixing plumbing, et cetera, et cetera. But it's idle. It's idle. It's not doing anything. Open it up. Come up with a schedule for kids to go in and play. Maybe in the gym. Maybe in the art room. Not the computer room. They have enough stuff like that at home. Maybe for a few, but let's not emphasize that. They get enough of that stuff. Creativity in the art room. Let the artists go in and have a place. And also the kids can go to the music room and create their beauty from there. Because remember, with art, whether it's art or music or dance or writing or whatever the kids, people are doing artistically, a lot of it comes from pain. Because from pain comes beauty. And without artists in the world to give us beauty, life would be pretty dull and boring. And the reality is, when you see an artist, when you can actually meet one, whatever the art is, thank that person as I do. I thank an artist for letting me visit the place where they live, because I can't even draw a straight line between two points with a ruler. I'm pretty pathetic when it comes to art. And but I can appreciate what people can create, whatever it is, on canvas, through a musical instrument, in words, etc. I can appreciate what they can do, and I thank them for letting me visit where they live. And you should too, just like you should thank a veteran for his service. If you see even a stranger, reach a hand out, you'll get one back, and it'll be firm and it'll be appreciated. The greatest feeling in the world you can have is a feeling of appreciation. And let's show some. If you want to get some, you got to give some and show some. So let's open up the schools and let's not let men run it, because men will mess it up. Men are good at doing it, but let's give it to some of the women, the moms, the neighborhood ladies, who have a full schedule anyway, and we probably love to open up the school in the summer for their kids to have a place to go, a safe place to go. To do what? Play, which is what kids should be doing, especially when it's raining. How many of you have a bunch of kids come over in the basement, Xboxing or whatever they're doing, when they could have a place to go to play? Whatever it is, sports, a playground to play in, all supervised. Come up with a simple schedule. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 to 12 for the boys, 1 to 3 for the girls, or 1 to 4 for the girls. Flip it around. Go do it by grades. Break it up. And guess what? Keep it open Saturday and Sunday. You'll get volunteers to help, and many of the people will take advantage of it themselves, the adults. Good place to mix and mingle and socialize. Because once you're, when you're not in the school loop with involvement and you live in a town, regardless of the size, you sort of get misplaced or lost. And it's good to have that central place to go play and create. Even if it's just to bring a chair and a bottle of lemonade to sit around and commiserate about not having anything to do, when in fact there's plenty to do. That's part of my book, Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All. So let's open up the schools. I know the impediments are two. There's two of them. It's the insurance and it's the lawyers. Well, let's get waivers signed. Let everybody chip in a couple of bucks to pay for extra insurance. We do it for pickup basketball. Everybody pays a fee. I'll tell you what, except me. You know why? I'm over 60. And the guys are kind to the old and feeble, as I mentioned before, and they let me play, even if I don't bring the ball. Well, the guy who used to run it, he himself is over 60. He's a little younger than me. And he instituted a policy that says if you're over 60, you've been playing, we've been playing together 25 years, it's free. And there's plenty of other guys who are well capable of paying. Now, we do contribute when needed, but as an added incentive for the old folks to stay involved and stay connected to things that keep you young, such as play and creativity and being with people in a social environment, that's a cool thing, as opposed to sitting at home, clicking around, and watching the rude, crude, antisocial almost screen on the TV that's got six talking heads screaming at each other at the same time. You can't hear what they're saying. If I had four people in here and we were all talking at the same time, we'd all try to outdo each other and it would just confuse, and you got to turn that stuff off. It is not good modeling for the kids. What's good modeling for the kids is to see adults or grown-ups doing things either along with the kids or setting up things for them to do in a safe environment where they can have fun with no pressure and there's no yelling and screaming and coaching and maneuvering and anything. The only involvement is safety, security, and be available to answer a question or to help out with something, to open a door if need be. And you can shut off parts of the school if you don't want the kids in there. There's all kinds of barriers, gates, fences, whatever you can do if you want to keep people away from certain things. So let's open up the schools and use them. Hell, we pay for them. If we pay for them for 12 months out of the year, why do we only get to use them 9 or 10 months out of the year for kids' functions, school functions? Let's open them up, keep them open, even during the school year. There's activities through the school. There's plays, there's clubs, there's at night. But you can open up, keep the building open from like 7 to 10 or 11 and let people come in and create art, do music, play some basketball or volleyball, indoor sports. They can play indoor soccer or wiffle ball or something to retain youth. Because the reality is, as we get older, we forget what it's like to be a kid. We don't do those things anymore. Yeah, there's a lot of people riding bikes all over. It's great. We just had one in town. There were 2,000 people. That's great, but it had to be an event. Everything is an event with an event planner and T-shirts and registration forms and sign-ups and goodie bags and goodie bags and goodie bags and promotional things. Why the heck can't you just go to your local school, elementary, middle, or high school, whatever has the best accommodations, or all three, and put some words out there, put some information out there. Hey, we need some supervisors. We need volunteers. People will jump all over it. Why? Because it's good for them and it's good for their kids. And what's better than that? I remember we went to our daughter's middle school event. We have a young son as well. Well, he didn't want to stay through the event. He went out in the back at the playground at the school with a bunch of other kids. There were one or two supervisors out there, people to supervise, who were not directly involved with the event. And they went out and they kept an eye on the kids every few minutes. And when it got dark, the kids wanted to stay out longer to play manhunt. And guess what? We let them. It wasn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. They come home. Of course, the homework was done before we went after dinner. But they came home. They were tired. They took a shower, did whatever they had to do to get ready for the next day. And boom, they were out because they were playing. You feel good about yourself. You need to do those kinds of things. We need to do and use the facilities we have at our disposal to the highest and best use and not just let them lay fallow and looking at, boy, I wish that gym was open. We could get a bunch of people to go play some ball. Hey, it'll work. And you know why it won't work? Because it hasn't been tried. And people live in fear of the insurance man and the lawyers. God forbid somebody hurts their foot or their the water fountain The water's warm and they hurt their hand. I don't know, crazy stuff. They go when they use the bathroom and they go to wash their hands and the water splashes all over their new shirt, so they sue the school. Crazy stuff. Let's avoid all that stuff. Just go out and play and have fun. 25 years of playing pickup basketball and probably about 12 years of playing pickup soccer once a week. Guys get hurt. It happens. I'm hurt right now. I'm out of action for a couple of weeks because of old age and body falling apart. But guys have ripped Achilles, busted up knees, got banged in the face. They go home, they take care of it, they get attention, and they're back. And they miss it when they can. I'm missing it desperately. In fact, our traditional Wednesday and Thursday night basketball games just changed to Tuesday and Thursday. On Tuesday's tough for me. Not so much now because I'm a bit wounded, but luckily, hopefully, I'll get healed, and I'm going to have to alter my Tuesday schedule. Maybe start earlier, maybe leave early, but I got to get my run in. I got to be with the guys. I got to have that camaraderie. I need it. It's part of my soul and character. Excuse me, I'm talking too much, but that's what we do here. So let's utilize the schools. Keep them open. Keep them busy, right? And take care of the business behind the scenes with all the experts who are usually in the way not to make it happen. But we can make it happen for what? For the good of the kids and for the good of the community and for the good of the many parents who are going to be involved to be part of it and also to participate in the process of physical activity and creativity, right? Get away from the house. Gee, excuse me, I'm sorry. You got to get up, get out, get going. Get up, get out, get going. Not just for kids who need it in this era more than they have in the past. Just take a look around, right, at what they're stuffing their faces with. And get away from that stuff. You don't need it as much as you think you need. Have a little bit and just move on to the next. Don't be so focused at sitting at some restaurant or sports bar watching 27 TVs, all different channels, spending a lot of money on liquid refreshment and indulging in maybe some food that's not the best to eat at 10 o'clock at night when you want to go to bed, try to digest and get up early in the morning to go to work, and maybe not feeling so well. By the way, an undocumented, unsubstantiated, I'm a non-research type person, but I think that, and having gone through this as an adult, and occasionally having bouts with it, I think colic in babies, which thank goodness our kids didn't have, but we know a lot of people who had babies with colic, and it's horrible. They just yell and scream and cry, and what's worse than a crying baby who you can't comfort? It's awful. But I think colic is really acid reflux, right? I mean, what else could be causing it? I mean, there's a lot of medical things that, of course, any medical thing I know nothing about, but there has to be an explanation for it. And I was thinking, boy, that colic, it is so uncomfortable. Your chest gets tight, your arms get numb, you just, blah, and all you want to do is like throw up or belch or just relieve yourself, and you try all kinds of things. And I did try one thing that seems to work pretty good for me. It's simple, very inexpensive, and it's probably in your house. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not recommending it, but this worked for me. I don't even know if it's ethical to put it out there, so I'm not going to put it out there because I don't want to be sued by someone who's going to stand in the way of the same kind of people who would stand in the way of a school opening for kids to go play and adults to have fun and interact with each other outside of organized yelling, screaming, cursing, badgering youth sports that they do, right? And you can tell them when you go to the game. You can tell the parents who are living vicariously through their kids. Just go to any youth sports game any time of the year, and you can pick them out in 10 minutes. The ones, they're usually sitting by themselves, or they're marching up and down the field along with the kids. We had a parent on another team one time was running up and down the field yelling at a girl on my daughter's team. And she just stopped right in her tracks and said, "Sir, excuse me, do you know you're yelling at a 14-year-old girl?" And he just like, whoa. He had to back away. He left. He didn't realize how stupid it was. I say we videotape all these people, for lack of a better word, and let them see how rude and crude and socially unacceptable they are. To actually let them see, like the fans. What gives the fans at a game, either a college or a professional game, what gives them the right to badger and belittle and do all these negative things, yelling, screaming, cursing, throwing things? You pay your money, you sit in the stands, and you watch your game. If you get that heated and emotional about something, stay home and don't make it uncomfortable for the people around you who pay just as much money and want to come in and see and enjoy their game and support their team. And maybe if they know a player on the field, that's good too. But we get these people who just have no lives, right? They live for the event, right? And I'm a bit partial. I love football. I played football a couple of years in high school, a couple of years in the military service, and I love it. I wasn't any good at it, but I did have a few good moments in the 4 years that I played. And thank goodness that the NFL is back on TV, because in August there's just nothing to do, and all they do is talk for weeks. They talk and theorize and analyze and predict and critique and do all this other stuff about things that haven't happened and may never happen. But that's what they do. And now that I saw a couple of games over the weekend, college and professional, I can openly say that I think the precursor for all this, the role model for all this pregame stuff and telling you, informing you about events coming up in the next 12 hours, how many games, where they're held, every fact, every statistic, every form of minutia that is out there comes from one source, the pyrotechs, the smoke or fog machines, the glitter, the lights, the entertainment and all. It probably comes from perhaps the greatest marketing and promoting genius of modern times, and that's the WWE, formerly the WWF, as I knew it way back then, because they are the benchmark. They set the precedent, and everyone else is following their lead. Just watch it. Watch some WWE shows on TV, and you'll see things. And if you're new to it, you're going to say, wow, they do that in the NFL. They do that in the NFL. No. The WWE came first, right? They're the ones that were the pioneers. Everyone else is feeding off their success, which is not a bad thing. I guess it's a form of flattery if you are the owners and hierarchy at the WWE. So let's go back and keep the schools open. Keep them open, right? So people have a place to go to do things, to do. Get up, get out, get going. Excuse me, once again, I am so sorry. I guess I'm dry. One thing I want to talk about on a more serious note is recovery. Recovery from whatever your ailment is. Usually when people talk of recovery today, it's due to substance and chemical abuse or alcohol or things like that. I just want to give you an example, which of course is always the best explanation about people in recovery. There's two kinds of people, those in recovery and those in prevention. They're basically doing the same things. Let's say there's two people, Bill and Joe. Bill has a heart attack. He goes to the doctor. Doctor tells him, lose weight, stop smoking, eat healthy food and beverages, have a healthy diet, exercise, and develop and maintain healthy family and personal relationships with people who support your efforts, your goals, and your aspirations to lead a clean, healthy life. So what does he do? Bill goes to the gym. And he's on the gym, and he's on the treadmill, and there's a guy next to him named Joe. Bill tells Joe about his heart attack and the doctor's suggestions. Joe tells Bill that he, Bill, decided many years ago to quit smoking, to eat a healthy diet, to avoid caffeine and sugar-filled drinks and alcohol, of which he overconsumed and had problems with, and to maintain a comfortable and appropriate weight, to exercise regularly, and to nurture friendships that encourage and support his lifestyle. Very simple concept. Both men are living the same way. One's in recovery from the heart attack or whatever ailment is out there that's causing him to be in recovery. The other one's in prevention. Either way, help is needed in the form of leadership, which we talked about last week, guidance, direction, support, mentoring, and in today's vernacular, coaching, right? You need to have somebody in your corner to help you through it, because the reality is nobody can do it alone. And that's a very simple explanation for those in need of doing something. You can always make excuses why it's not working. It's not working. I'm in a program. I'm doing something. Whatever it is, weight loss, alcohol, drugs, eating, gambling, whatever it is. I'm there, but it's not working. And the reason it's not working is you're not working the program. You're going to a meeting, maybe you have a support system, and as soon as you leave, you go out and you go back to your old habits. When you do that, recovery will never happen for you. When you go back to the same behaviors and attitudes that caused you to need a recovery situation, you're going to go back to it and relapse and relapse and relapse, and you're going to get stuck on the treadmill and the downward spiral to less than success. And you're going to continually offer excuses. Because remember, excuses explain your failure. Oh, I didn't do it. It doesn't work for me. It's no good. The counselor, the coach, and they don't like me and blah, blah, blah. They don't include me. Okay, those are all excuses. What are you doing for yourself? Empowerment. Remember, that's the overall theme of You About Ready. You About Ready to accomplish more than ever, you ever thought possible? Become empowered. Don't put it on someone else. Don't point the finger. Go out and do it yourself. It can be done. Gain some internal strength, strength of character. I don't care if you can lift a bus, but what do you got inside? What's going on that's preventing you as an impediment? The answer is you. You get in your way. You prevent yourself from being successful. And a lot of people are afraid of success. We don't fear failure. We fear success. Why? Because success comes so infrequently. We get more failures in our life. We expect it almost. And when a success comes our way, we tend to begin like, wow, that never happened to me before. I don't know how to handle this. It's like a kid who wants to go to a movie, right? So he sees a girl he knows from school. Hey, Mary, you want to go to the movies with me? No, I can't. We're having a family thing this weekend, but thanks for asking. So he goes, hey, Susan, you want to go to the movies with me? No, my girlfriends and I were going shopping for whatever and so forth. And he sees Jennifer. Jennifer, you want to go to the movies with me? Guess what? She says yes, right? It's just like my dad saying, hey, how you feeling? How you doing? Lousy. Well, this kid gets a yes from a girl, and he's like, oh, my God. He's anticipating the no, and he's already starting to walk away. She says yes. He's starting to walk away. She says, where are you going? I said, yeah, I'll go with you. It'll be fun. He said, oh, my goodness, what do I do? How do I react? I don't know what to do. And then they have a big situation because you only get one chance at a first impression. He wants to make a good one, and they decide, well, what movie do you want to see? And, you know, today there's not two choices. Like with many cases, there's too many choices. Got it? And that tells a lot. Well, I like action, bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up. Oh, I like adventure, science fiction. So they have to agree on a movie. They have to agree on a theater. Well, I like this theater. It's close to home. But, yeah, but this one has the comfortable seats. And it's near both of us. And we can buy tickets online and blah, blah, blah. So you do that. What time do you want to go see it? Well, I have to be home by 11. And if the movie starts at 9, I'll never make it. So let's go to the 6 o'clock show. Well, if we go to 6 o'clock show, that's the time I eat dinner. What do you want to do, eat before or after? Well, we could eat before, and there might be time to eat after, but I don't like to eat after because that's too late. I'll be up all night with indigestion. So we'll eat before. Well, what kind of food do you like? Well, I like pizza. Well, I like Chinese food. I like sushi. I like a salad. And where do you you go through all these events, which they seem larger than life, just to go on a date, to go to a movie, because you got a yes. You got a positive response. You have a success. Excuses explain failure. Reasons define success, and reasons define your strength of character as a person. And the more success you have, it's like if you eat that fake sugar substitute stuff, all of a sudden you start using honey. Hey, that honey is good. That's a sweet taste of honey. That's nice. I want more. Yeah. So you get one success. You want more and more and more because it's contagious and you like it. It makes you feel good about yourself, not artificially, by putting stuff in your body you shouldn't be putting in to make you escape from pain. And the pain, maybe you're not fortunate enough to discover your gift and skill. You don't have a way to manifest or express your pain to create beauty, so you stay with your pain. But a few successes, just one to start with, and it just snowballs and escalates into more and more. You like that feeling. So you're going to be using honey more than you will those little packets of white powdery substance. By the way, the two most dangerous white powdery substances are what? Salt and sugar. That's it, right? Salt and sugar, two dangerous powderies. They don't take you out in a short period of time, right? You're not going to overdose on those, but in the long period of time, they're going to affect your numbers, and numbers don't lie. So just be careful and watch what you're ingesting as far as dangerous white powdery substances. So recovery, you can be in it or you can prevent it. Either way, you're going to do the same things. You're going to take care of yourself. You're going to be with and socialize and hang around with positive, healthy people who support you. You're going to take care of your body in all ways. You're going to watch what you put in and don't put in. You're going to be aware, more cognizant of the world around you. Your head's going to clear. And guess what? You're going to feel good about yourself. And isn't that what we all strive for? To feel good about ourselves in this chaotic, hectic world of rushing around and not being able to maintain a steady state. When you feel good about yourself, everything good happens for you. More success will come your way. More success, and the more success, and you want it, and you want it, and you want it some more. There's more to talk to about recovery. It's just not as cut and dry as that, but the reality is you can do it when you make up your mind to do it. You can have all the help in the world. I've seen some of those TV shows on it where someone sits in a room and they have a group of people around them all badgering and hassling them, and they're just not ready. Those people are not ready. Of course, it's excuse me. Of course, it's TV, and it's made for you to sit there and watch and buy the sponsor's product and to keep you attracted and attentive to the story so you don't know what's true or what's not, all right? Just like most TV shows are like that, whatever they are. They find a little niche, and they build on it. Whatever the reality TV shows are, whatever the animal shows are. By the way, those animal shows, I think the more scientific ones, I just want to know where they put those cameras. When they're 100 feet in the ocean watching sharks swim around, where are those cameras and how do they get them there? Or watching a condor or an eagle or a hawk build its nest and take care of its young, where are those cameras and how did they get them there? Right? There's some terrific, terrifically skilled people out there, unless, of course, it's on the other side and they're faking us out just to entertain us, right? I don't know what's true anymore. The Diana Nyad thing threw me for a loop today. We got professional people in entertainment and sports who supposedly are role models, and we get to know every nuance of their life, what kind of toilet paper they use, what size shoe they wear. And so many of them are coming up as so-called cheaters, right? Whatever it is, the steroids people, the HGH people, the PED people, whatever letters of the alphabet you're going to put together to create a scenario of dishonesty and cheating, and especially with these steroids and things. And I always thought, and again, I'm ignorant medically. Maybe someone out there can inform me and the audience, whoever's listening, besides bbsradio.com, can inform me. I always thought taking those steroids and pumping your body up causes you to become micro and soft. I don't know. That's what I was told when I was younger. Don't take that stuff. It affects your anatomy. And so being micro and soft is only good if you make a compound word out of it and buy stock in the company, because it's a good company to own stock in and you can make money that way. But to be micro and soft is ineffective, and now you're going to start taking medicine for that that causes you to have a four-hour creation that is not normal in the first place. And so you're doing all these things to your body. You don't know what the heck you're doing, and all the side effects that go along with it, right? Just for 32 seconds of pleasure. I don't know what's going on, right? But to become micro and soft potentially is a downside of using all these things that you're putting in your body to increase your ability to withstand pain or to perform or to ride a bicycle or to swim all over or to take a hit in sports or to hit back. I don't know what's going on, right? And leaders of countries who are annihilating and wiping out and exterminating their populations, I think suffer from the same thing, right? I think there's a lack of physiological, physical, and biological release and enlightenment that they're lacking, that they can only find through power. They too might be micro and soft. All these leaders of countries who extol their strength and their power by bullying. Remember last week's thing we talked about, bullies who rule and lead by fear, intimidation, bullying, threatening force, and ultimatums. And thinking maybe they're megalomaniacs and can have the power over life and death to just exterminate people randomly and put fear in people's lives that they want to have to exile their countries. I challenge these guys. I'll put them in a room, drop your pants, and see how micro and soft you are. Because something's lacking. Hell, Bin Laden had movies that they found on the floor, when, according to the reports, when they blew him up in that cave. The guy from Korea, whose son is now running it, the country, probably the sons want to outdo the fathers. There's reports of him having all kinds of, not say inappropriate, but adventures into pleasuring himself through various means, biologically, physiologically, and physically. That what's going on? Are they lacking that much in life that they have to take people's lives to gain pleasure? How weak are they? Oh, I want to get them, and let's play some ball. I mean, I'm old. I'm pretty much done. I got nothing left. But let's play some racquetball. Let's play some basketball. Let's see what you're made of, how much you got to give. Or do you have to be that one out there who's just destroying people's lives by the tens and hundreds of thousands, ruining a country, stealing it all for yourself, and letting everybody go in exile and help destroy and ruin other countries because the refugees have to go somewhere? What the heck is going on with this world? It's in the Middle East. It's in Africa. It's in the United States. It's everywhere. Why are these bullying leaders permitted, allowed, and condoned to do all these things? Now, I understand the president's going to talk about that stuff tonight, and I'm in no position to create any solutions. But my point is, how and why do leaders get in those positions? And it's not restricted to political leaders of countries who probably have generations of the same behaviors and are just continuing the extermination of their people, not slowly, but certainly surely. I mean, I think it was Thailand, Pol Pot, they found mass graves with hundreds of thousands of people in there. What the heck is that about, right? Where was the consequences? Where was the world to be upset and say, what are you doing? Bad enough in America, we have millions of kids who can't get a meal. Some have a choice. I know for a fact, I just heard about it. Some parts of the country, maybe many, some kids get breakfast, they can't get lunch. And vice versa, especially in the summer when the programs at schools are shut down. So where are responsible people, our leaders, who we put in office to do the right thing, hopefully, and they're not doing it, they're letting it go on? How the hell do you go to sleep at night knowing, A, the kids are going to sleep hungry, people are living under trees in the woods somewhere to survive, adults and kids? And people are being destroyed all over the world, just exterminated and wiped out. How do we sleep at night with a clear conscience? Because our belly is full and we have clean clothes and we don't care. Is that the reason? Where's the humanitarian effort? Don't label me as anything. I'm just a regular, hardworking, dumb white guy with a lot of soul. In fact, I can't control all my soul. In fact, I think all the things that are being portrayed in the mass media today about race relations, what if we flipped that? What if we had positive things? I told you a story last week about my time with the black community when I was overseas playing football and living in the Philippine Islands. The greatest time in my life was with those guys. I love them like family. And they were all black. And here I am, the white guy. What's it? We didn't see that. I didn't, and I know they didn't. There was none of this bantering and bickering. We were just guys hanging out. We talked the same stuff. We had our own opinions. We respected each other. We had good things to say about each other, support each other. We didn't get on and take a little incident and blow it out of proportion and let people gossip about it at work, in their cars, at dinner tables, and so forth, which is not really dinner talk anyway, but it gets there. Hey, did you hear about this? Did you see that? This guy's doing this. Where was that? What happened? Why not put good stories on? You know, I think there's 24 hours of news all day, every day throughout the year. They should devote half of it to good news, good stories. And people will see that, hey, it ain't all that bad. Yes, that stuff happens. But it's in our face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you get brainwashed and conditioned. That's the way the whole world is. You know, back in the day, breaking news was, oh my goodness, a catastrophe. God forbid, something was awful. A plane went down, a train, it was awful. Now, breaking news, exclusive to our station only. Here's our reporter on the street. Bozo's lunch truck was relocated three blocks down the street because a bike was parked in his spot, and they're bringing all the police in to quell the riot. Well, what the heck is that about? That's breaking news? No, that's somebody who forgot to move their bike or a car or whatever, so the guy was inconvenienced. People had to walk another two blocks to get their gloppity-glop stuffed sandwich, which has everything in it. And by the way, I've seen those sandwiches. In fact, recently on a college trip, I had one. I couldn't taste a thing. It was bread with chicken and French fries and coleslaw, lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, chicken mozzarella sticks or chicken, all in one sandwich. And you squeeze it all together like one big lump that hardens in your artery. What the hell are you taking? Know what I tasted? The ketchup I dipped it in. That was it. I don't know how we eat like that. Is that uncivilized? Is that the? And all the food shows on TV are loaded with the two most dangerous white powdery substance. Yeah, just add some salt, some sugar. Throw in a few more slabs of butter. Get the grease in there. It gives it flavor and all the fat. Yeah, it's good. What do they do? Look at them. There's a couple who look like they're in shape, but they probably binge and purge after they stuff themselves with all this food. And it's always neatly presented. And they run around panicking. And people watch it and they think, that's the way it really is? I don't think so. They're just, what, 18 seconds, get your stuff. I'm still peeling potatoes. No, you got 12 seconds. It's nuts. And it makes people nuts who watch that show. That's why those shows. That's why you must find things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, in my book. Because when you do that, now you're doing the G-verb book. You are getting up, getting out, getting going, doing something, not spectating. There's plenty of time to spectate, but get out and do something, right? And when you do those things together, guess what you become? Empowered. You become empowered to accomplish more than you ever thought possible, which is the overlying theme of my show. For you to get up, get out, get going, get away from the insanity that's portrayed on the big screen. I don't know how you watch all that stuff. I watch some. I'm guilty of it, right? I watched two shows of a guy trying to blow up a tree stump, but we were so tired from doing the college tour stuff, we got back to the hotel and clicked on just to have noise. When the reality is, we should have put on music, all kinds of music. I'm introduced to all kinds of music that most of you don't even know of out there, and I'm very lucky to do that because there's a variety of people who have the ability to give something back to the world because they create beauty. Most of them are coming from pain. Read their stories. Learn about them. Struggling and suffering, not to get any press is good press, just to get their feelings out, their emotions, their love of their art, to pleasure us. What's wrong with that? And in doing so, if they're healing their world, then it's a good world for everybody, satisfying both sides of the fence. It's wonderful. It's not one-dimensional. It's not focused on one individual. It's focused on the universe, the world. Wonderful thing. Appreciate art. I talked about appreciation before. What greater feeling do you have when someone comes to you and says, you know, man, I appreciate what you did for me yesterday. You know, what I do? You listen to me. And I needed somebody to listen to me. I didn't need anybody to ridicule me or judge me or badger me or harass me or anything else. Right? Put me down. Say I was doing the wrong thing. I just needed someone to listen to me. And you were there for me yesterday. And I'll never forget it. Because I don't forget things like that. That's a wonderful feeling to have. You sleep good at night when you know you've had an impact on someone's life, not even aware that you did anything, only the fact that they appreciated what you did for them by you giving of yourself something that you have, which is called time, right? When you have time, when time is on your side, you win. I've never seen it fail. It happens every time. When you don't have time on your side, you're having a rough day. You get up late. You cut yourself shaving, the button falls off your shirt, your briefcase, the books, all the notes all fall out, you spill your coffee, you get to work, there's no place to park, you park far away, it starts raining, your reports and papers get all wet, you get there, you're all harried and hassled, and because you got up late. The alarm didn't go off, it's not my fault. Yeah, it is. You can prepare for your tomorrow today, because if you don't prepare for your tomorrow today, you have no tomorrow, just like in business. If you don't have customers to service, you have no business. They won't come to you. So if you don't make time your friend, you're going to have problems. Make time your friend. It's a good thing. Time is a great, wonderful thing. And the better you manage it, the healthier your life is, the better off you are in pursuing success. Because remember, once you do that, you want more success. This whole thing is all related. It's all interlocking. It's woven. It's whatever you want it to call. It's related. We don't operate in fragments. We don't function in fragments. You've been listening to an hour of my soliloquy of stuff, and it might be random, and it might be all over the place, like buckshot, firing all over. But it's connected. It's connected by one thing, and that's you. You are the source of your strength, and you have the power. You have the ability to do and conquer anything you want to do. You have the ability to overcome obstacles that are in your way. You have the ability to learn. What's better than that, right? You have the ability to do whatever you want to do, as long as it's legal, legitimate, you're not hurting anybody. But let's get people together, right? Let's end or reduce the amount of things that are presented to us, bombarded us in a negative way. Let's present positive images. Let's open up the schools to have a place to go and things to do so we can fight boredom. We can fend it off. We can overcome it. And we can become productive and feel good about ourselves. And that's what we want to do. Again, if you want to send me an email and discuss any of this or talk about it, the email address is hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com, hamp73 at gmail.com. If you want to listen to any of my previous shows on BBS Radio, just go to bbsradio.com. The name of the show is Power Up Your Power. I'm sorry. The name of the show is You Bout Ready. My name is Marty Ford. You can click on archive section and go back to my three previous shows. This is my fourth show. I feel like I've been doing it my whole life. I'm very comfortable in delivering my messages. I'm very confident that if we can just follow some of these and put them into action, we'll have positive, healthy results for you individually and for the masses collectively. But we have to get people to spread the word, right? Go on your Facebook page. Go on your emails. Send the word out. BBSradio.com, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're on the East Coast here. You'll hear my show, You Bout Ready. It's all good stuff. It's all healthy stuff. It's all stuff that people think about and talk about a little bit, and then they go away from it because they're distracted by all the stuff that they see and hear in the media, whether it's newspapers, internet, or bombardment on TV with a lot of rude, crude people presenting things and providing poor role modeling for kids. So tonight, to review, we wanted to talk about keeping the schools open year-round because they're great buildings. They're strong. They can take a lot. And let's use them by the community of the people who live there, who pay for them, right? Find a way to make it happen. The tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility was about information, knowledge, and wisdom, and how it's all the same stuff and how it progresses and changes in those three categories as you go through the aging process. The one thing I didn't talk about tonight, we did talk about the NFL and the WWE, and I'm so happy that the NFL is back because I enjoy it. It gives me pleasure. I'm trying to reduce the amount of time that I spend in front of the TV watching it, but a good game is a good game, and if you have something you enjoy doing, then do it, right? But when things come in that have to get done, family stuff, work stuff, whatever it is, you got to do that. The game can come back. And besides, you can probably watch the whole thing on YouTube anyway the next day or watch the highlights because life has turned into a top 10 performance. Everything is a top 10. And it started years ago. A guy wrote a book of lists, much more than 10, and people went off on it, and they love it. We love lists of things. Now it's on the internet. Today was the top 10 best colleges or universities in the country. I don't know who judges that. I don't know what criteria they use. But you know what the best college or university is? It's for your kid. If they're so inclined to go to college, which not all are, and believe me, don't force them if they don't want to go. Let them grow into it by experiencing life. Maybe taking a gap year, a work year, a travel year, do something. But I don't know how they define the best college. Whoever pays, like today, eggs are good for you. Next month, they might be bad for you. Coffee's good for you, but now it's bad for you. I guess it's whoever sponsors the research study and pays the freight. I don't know what to believe anymore. But there's always almost a daily top 10 foods to eat, if you want to gain hair volume on your head. I'm just thankful to have hair on my head. I don't really care what it does or looks like, although my wife insists on me being well coiffed. So I go to Salon Weifei, by the way. That's a 24-hour salon. It's relatively new. Actually, it's been around for me 25 years, Salon Weifei. It's open 24 hours. There's immediate seating, never a wait. You can bring your own equipment and supplies if you want to use, and there's always an opening for you. And it's wonderful. I've been using it, and I recommend it to anybody who has one and is in need of a haircut. By the way, Weifei is a fancy word for wife. It's just I put too much emphasis on the wrong syllable. So my wife cuts my hair. And please don't write to me or email me that I'm not a good man by having my... No, she likes doing it. It's quiet time for us, especially when the kids were home. We talk about stuff, or we don't talk about stuff. And I'm thinking in my heart she likes doing it, and I certainly like receiving it. Because it saves time driving to the barbershop, which, by the way, the barbershop, the man's haven, it's a great thing. And if you really want to go to a barbershop and get into issues and things of the day, find a barbershop where there's a lot of soul. I told you before, I got so much soul I can't control. Find out what people are about. Learn about them. Let them learn about you. Break bread with them. How many times, well, that smells good. What are you eating? You don't know. You don't know what's in it, but it's good because it helps you break the gap, break the ice, and get to know people. And when we know people, we find out about them. You find out, hey, they got the same issues and problems and concerns, likes and dislikes, et cetera, et cetera. It's when you start listening to people who are trying to condition you into thinking that all this is that and all that is this, that we have conflict. No, we're all the same. And we just have to be able to get there by having more positive images about it, more information delivered to us in a positive, healthy way. Say, yeah, you can do that. And when I listen to all the negative things, especially about race relations in the media, it just comes back that all of that is, they're all excuses. Everyone's pointing the finger, playing the blame game. Instead of saying, you know, we can fix this. We can work together. It can happen. We don't need to do all this stuff, right? Let's learn about each other. Whatever you are. I mean, we have a lot of people are getting, having problems because of their anything. Just who they are, the way they dress, what they put on their head, do anything, what you believe in. And I never knew, I couldn't believe how many lives have been lost in the name of religion. Whatever religion you believe in, if it doesn't agree with somebody across the way, there's going to be conflict, as opposed to saying, hey, you got yours, I got mine, I'll meet you at the park, let's play some ball, or I'll meet you at the school, it's now open, we have legal permission and insurance to go down there and play and have fun and congregate and socialize and interact, maybe make arrangements to do something else, you know, find out about life, find out about each other. So that's all part of empowering you. If everybody becomes empowered a little bit, then it leads to a lot, then more people will be more cooperative, more understanding, more open to developing stronger, healthier relationships within their own world and the world around them. This is Marty Ford, BBSRadio.com. You About Ready is the name of the show. Right now, I'm about ready to go. So all I will say in parting is, oh, one last thing I forgot. I forgot, and I remembered, because I didn't remember the first few weeks. Person jumps off a 10-story building, lands feet first, walks away, not a scratch, not a scuff on his shoes. How did he do that? Or she? How did that person do that? Jump off a 10-story building, land feet first, walk away. Not a wrinkle of clothes, nothing. Not even a little sweat bead. You know how they did it? They jumped out the first floor. The building is 10 stories. I didn't say he jumped off the 10th floor of a 10-story building. I just said they jumped off a 10-story building. They could jump off any floor, right? But he jumped out of the first floor or the ground floor. Let's make it the ground floor a little easier. And landed feet first, walked away. Even today, if I jumped out of the ground off the ground floor of any size building, I'd get wounded because my feet are so weak and my leg, it's just terrible. But I'm still fighting. I'm still out there. I'm trying to heal, trying to get better. And I'm going to tell you what I tell myself every day. Power up your power. Because the power is in you.